Hello everyone, I'm Amanda Balbi, Associate Editor at Consultant and Consultant360.com. Although statins are now commonly prescribed to patients who are hospitalized after a heart attack, that wasn't always the case. A recent study led by Dr. Robert Rosenson, Professor of Medicine and Cardiology at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York, examined the trends of high-intensity statin use after a heart attack from 2011 to 2014. Dr. Rosenson is here with us today to explain his study and the results. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Rosenson.
Thank you for the opportunity to discuss our findings.
So to start, can you tell us a little bit more about your study?
Yes. We're aware that in randomized clinical trials, that high-intensity statins are superior to low to moderate intensity statins in reducing cardiovascular events in patients who present with an acute coronary syndrome, as well as in individuals who have stable coronary heart disease. The evidence in large part derives from the PROVE-IT TIMI-22 study and the PROVE-IT trial. Despite the secondary prevention guidelines published by the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology in 2011, the utilization of high-intensity statins in individuals who had a myocardial infarction was only 27%. There was a hesitancy to transition individuals who are on low to moderate intensity statins to high-intensity statins despite this evidence. We decided to reevaluate the utilization of high-intensity statins in individuals hospitalized for myocardial infarction by evaluating the trends through 2014. This allowed for us to evaluate the impact of the American College of Cardiology, American Heart Association cholesterol guidelines that were published in 2013. In this study, we included 42,893 patients from MarketScan, a large commercial insurance database, and 75,096 patients who were older, 66 to 75 years of age, from Medicare. We defined high-intensity statins in accordance with the ACC/AHA guidelines, specifically atorvastatin 40 milligram or 80 milligram, and rosuvastatin 20 or 40 milligram daily. Beginning 2011, there was a progressive increase in the prescriptions for high-intensity statins, both in MarketScan, a younger cohort, and Medicare, an older cohort. From January through March 2011, to October to November 2014, prescriptions for high-intensity statins in MarketScan increased from 33.5% to 71.7%. In Medicare, the percentage of patients being prescribed and filling high-intensity statins increased from 24.8% to 57.5%. This trend represents a marked improvement in the utilization of high-intensity statins, more than a doubling. These results are encouraging. There were several factors that we evaluated regarding these trends. In accordance with our previous paper in JAMA Cardiology earlier this year, patients who had a myocardial infarction who were referred and participated and cardiac rehabilitation were more likely to use high-intensity statins. Part of cardiac rehabilitation is not just increasing your activity and exercising, but it's the educational process about your care and preventive therapy to prevent a recurring cardiovascular event that is so critical for those programs. Another factor was interaction with the cardiologist. The more regular the visits, greater the utilization of high-intensity statins. But our primary mission was to evaluate the influence of the guidelines. Now, perhaps we didn't have enough time after the guidelines to assess their full impact, but the trends began to increase after 2011. What happened in 2011? Well, atorvastatin became generic. And after the six-month patent protection, after the generic availability of atorvastatin, the increases in prescriptions for high-intensity atorvastatin increased year after year. These data suggest that physicians knew what to do, but there were certain obstacles in the way, and those obstacles were the cost of the medication or the high copay associated with some of the branded statins, such as atorvastatin that was marketed under the name Lipitor, and rosuvastatin, which was branded under the name Crestor. But once those financial barriers were reduced, there has been a progressive increase in high-intensity statins. This is encouraging. With that message being stated, why were 28% of patients in market scan and 42% in Medicare not receiving high-intensity statins? Well, it is possible that more education is needed for healthcare team, that certain systems need to be put into account. And that was one of the missions of the Get With The Guidelines developed by the American Heart Association, that everybody who has an acute coronary syndrome leaves the hospital on high-intensity statins. There may be certain cost issues with certain individuals. We found in our previous paper by Colantonio in JAMA Cardiology that for older individuals who had no financial hindrance, in other words, they had a covered copay, they were more likely to use high-intensity statins. So even though the medications became generic, there is a certain cost that's higher compared to the use of some moderate-intensity statin. That may be another factor. It may be a small percentage of individuals who have some form of intolerance or adverse events with high-intensity statins, but they're able to tolerate a moderate-intensity statin. Or there may be certain individuals that refuse to take, quote, the top dose of any medication. But those are issues that we're exploring now in an ongoing project. So I'd like to summarize our findings. There's been a progressive increase in the use of high-intensity statins in the most vulnerable population, individuals who are discharged with an acute myocardial infarction. Year after year, we're seeing improvements. A major factor influencing those prescriptions were the cost of the medication, and we see that it's mainly the increase in high-intensity atorvastatin that's driving these changes, whereas the use of high-intensity rosuvastatin has gone down slightly or, you know, not changed. We have more to do, but at least we can say the glass is more than half full in this scenario.
Thank you. And what do your results mean for primary care providers?
This information should be comforting to primary care physicians. The evidence supports high-intensity statins. We previously reported on a paper by Serban in the Journal of American College of Cardiology in February of 2017 that if you down-titrate the statin after myocardial infarction, you go to lower dose statin and use ezetimibe, or you switch off a statin to go to ezetimibe monotherapy, you have a higher risk of recurrent myocardial infarction, more cardiovascular events, more hospitalizations. In other words, there's harm from that decision. The vast majority of patients can tolerate high intensity statins. If you have somebody who's got mild liver abnormalities or there's some concomitant drug interactions, atorvastatin 40 milligram or rosuvastatin 20 milligram are still considered high-intensity statins. We have to understand from a biological perspective that in individuals who have a myocardial infarction, they have inflamed arteries in other vessels. In other words, the culprit vessel, the one that caused the myocardial infarction, maybe the one that we're considering. But in studies of angioscopy, where you evaluate the coronary arteries by direct visualization, there's been vulnerable and ruptured plaques seen in other arteries. It's a general systemic inflammatory condition. So we want to use high-intensity statins after myocardial infarction to reduce the inflammation in the other arteries as well. And we also know that over the longer period of time, that high-intensity statins keep the inflammation down based on carotid endarterectomy samples, coronary atherectomy samples, fluorodeoxyglucose imaging studies, and systemic inflammatory biomarkers. If you have an individual that has muscle-related symptoms, there's a way to evaluate that. From the National Lipid Association, we evaluated a statin myalgia myopathy score to make sure that those individuals really do have true statin muscle-related symptoms and not just having a flare in their arthritis or a muscle discomfort that results from lifting, exercise, a fall, or other expected, you know, muscle strenuous activities. So we want to make sure that we keep our patients on statins appropriately and keep them on it for the long term. The long-term data from the TNT trial was a 5-year study and showed continued benefit of high-intensity statin versus low-intensity statin, specifically atorvastatin 80 mg versus 10 mg, on reducing recurrent cardiovascular events in people with coronary heart disease. So the message is clear. Most patients can tolerate the therapy. You need to reinforce the message. And this way, our patients can be protected the most that we can with this class of agents.
And what patient population is most likely to be prescribed high-intensity statins?
Well, our study focused on patients who were hospitalized for myocardial infarction. So these would be considered the highest risk patients. But these observations extend to people with coronary disease, particularly when they have other major risk factors, be it familial hypercholesterolemia, a disorder that results from defective LDL receptor activity in 96% of cases, individuals with coronary disease and type 2 diabetes, or individuals who have coronary disease and chronic kidney disease. These are considered the very high-risk coronary heart disease patients, and we want to use high-intensity statins, particularly in those individuals, but perhaps all individuals with coronary heart disease, particularly because are susceptible to the disease. You know, they've either been hospitalized for acute coronary syndrome or underwent a revascularization procedure with PCI stent or coronary bypass surgery.
And how do you see the future of statin use in the United States?
There are alternative cholesterol-lowering therapies to statins, but none of those therapies have the evidence base that statins do. The pooled analysis from the cholesterol treatment trialists of statins shows overwhelming benefit for statin therapy and shows that high-intensity statins are more effective than low-intensity statins, consistent with the individual clinical trials that comprise the, you know, pooled analysis. We need to use statins appropriately before adding other drugs. We do have the IMPROVE-IT trial that shows that in individuals with LDL cholesterol levels that remain elevated, that ezetimibe further lowers cardiovascular risk. We have the FOURIER trial that shows that on the background of high-intensity statins, or perhaps moderate-intensity statins based on tolerability, that PCSK9 inhibitor therapy with ivalacumab reduces cardiovascular risk. But the foundation of our knowledge is high-intensity statins. Statins reduce atherogenic lipoproteins and reduce inflammation. So they're hitting the two major components of the atherosclerotic process that leads to plaque rupture and an acute coronary syndrome. As far as we know now, the PCSK9 inhibitors purely lower LDL cholesterol and don't have anti-inflammatory properties, but work is ongoing to determine whether they reduce inflammation other than their lack of effect on C-reactive protein, as an example.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Dr. Rosenson.
Okay, it's my pleasure, and you know, place your patients on high-intensity statins. It's the right thing to do, and it helps them out and keeps them out of the hospital and reduces healthcare costs for everybody in our society. Thank you very much.
Thank you. To read more about Dr. Rosenson's study, click the link below.